He's our hockey insider. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we say hello and good morning. Presentation of the Myers Automotive Group to Dave Poulin. How are you doing this morning, Dave?
I'm currently down 417 in Montreal, just awaiting a flight, and it was not pretty last night, JR, at all in the Bell Center.
Oh.
And in Montreal, it's just, I believe they've led for a little, either under or over 3 minutes in their entire five games. And last night, they get a goal early, a power play goal from Gallagher, and it's called goaltender interference, and a tight call, and it is the right call, but a tight call. And just the kind of things that are happening right now to Montreal. And it is, you can feel the tightness just building all around. And I think the fans have actually been pretty good. I think they're just so excited to be back in the building. And last night, the attendance was higher than it was on Tuesday. There were more people in the seats. But, you know, that Carolina team is a good hockey club. And we're seeing teams, as you did last night with San Jose. I had them Tuesday night in Montreal. We're seeing teams that we haven't seen. And we're looking at rosters and we're saying, okay, who is Jasper Weatherby and where did he come from? And, you know, we know, of course, in Ottawa who Jonathan Dolan was, but he had a great game on Tuesday night. So it's been interesting to see teams for the first time in a long time. And, you know, there's going to be a shakeup in the standings in the NHL. That's my early thoughts.
Outshot 10-5 Pooley in the first period was Montreal, just a flat start, and do you worry about that? I mean, these would be games where I'm assuming there'd be more of a sense of urgency.
There has to be more of a sense of urgency, Simmer, and it was actually a good start. He started his fourth line, which is now Armia, Lekkonen, and Jake Evans, and they're still trying to find the right mix of lines. They had them shaken up early. They had Suzuki, you know, away from both Caulfield and Toffoli. And they had, you know, different combinations that they were trying, but it was the air was taken out of them with that early coach's challenge. It really was. And, you know, that can work in so many different ways, because if that goes for Montreal, then they get a power play goal, then they get another power play. And, of course, it goes against them. And it was a pretty tight call, I thought. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but we got a read from the league, and they said his skates were in the crease before the puck got there, and then he had contact, or more or less denying Anderson his space to get out to the top of the crease and, you know, and be in effective position. But after that point, it got really, really tough for them.
What's up with Cole Caulfield? High expectations and high hopes going into this season through five games, no points, 13 shots. Is it a matter of him getting chances, them not going in, or him not even getting the chances in the first place?
He's had a couple of chances in each of the game. He's going to get his chances, but he hasn't handled the puck as well as he did last year. And last year he came in on such a high right from his NCAA season. And I, too, joined a team, you know, at the end of a season when I was fully confident. I was coming back from Europe. But I think it's the easiest time to join a team, the end of the year when you're in full sync, you know, and you're, you know, in your stride. And then the expectations over the summer probably built up to as unreal a point as they could possibly be. And not only because of what he'd done with Nick Suzuki, but because of the absences of Montreal since that point. You know, on a given night, there's eight or nine different faces in the lineup than there were last year during the cup run. And, you know, and everyone says, well, Dano is missing. Tomáš Tatar is not there as well. You know, he was a great regular season performer for them. You know, in fact, he led the team in scoring a couple of years ago, and he's been in their top four for 3 years. And you lose guys like that, and Corey Perry was a big part of it. In defense, you know, obviously Price is not there. Edmondson's not there. Weber's not there. And so then the expectations turned to the young guys, and the centerpiece for those expectations was clearly Cole Caulfield. And that's a lot to ask of a young guy who's only played a handful of games in the league.
Pooley, wanted to ask you about three new players. One is Freddie Anderson. The other is D'Angelo, and also Stepan, who played a little bit last year in Ottawa, is now in Carolina.
Yeah, and Stepan, you know, for a lot of reasons, didn't work out last year in Ottawa. The injury was part of it, but I think there was family issues there as well. He had a young family back across the border that he couldn't see, and you know, that's a real tough one. But Freddie Anderson looked really good, Simmer. I mean, you forget how big a guy he is. He's 6'4", 240 pounds, and he was really on point. And Montreal did come on as that game went on, and their numbers showed it. But in the third period in particular, he was outstanding. He was outstanding at 2-1. He stopped a couple of breakaways. He stopped Anderson on a breakaway. He stopped Drouin on a breakaway. Clean cut. And he was really, really good. You know, he's 3-0 now, and originally a Carolina draft pick that didn't go to Carolina and then went back in the draft 2 years later, was taken by Anaheim in the third round. So in this, you know, round circle we live in, he's back in Carolina, and he looked really, really good and really fresh. D'Angelo had 77 points 2 years ago. I mean, he's a good hockey player, and for off-ice reasons, New York chose to buy him out. So Carolina picks up a guy that could be the offensive replacement for Dougie Hamilton, not the all-round replacement, the offensive replacement, and they can play him in the sixth hole. So he's got a really nice soft landing in Carolina, and, you know, without a lot of noise in Carolina. And they're a good hockey club. They play fast. They play really hard. They're hard on the puck, which you would expect from a Rod Brendamore team, but now they just have more depth.
Okay, we'll talk about Ottawa in just a second. One more on Carolina, Jesperi Kotkaniemi, and this is the knife in the back for Montreal fans, and then the twist. He comes back and he gets his first goal, of course, last night in the Carolina win. I won't ask you so much about his game, but what is your assessment as he starts his fourth year as a pro? What do you see as the upside for Jesperi Kotkaniemi?
I think he can be a number two center, JR. I think that's where his upside is. And, you know, he's got to balance out the offense and defense a little bit, but I think he can be that good. I think there's enough talent there. There's really good size. I don't think, I mean, it's funny, you asked me the question. I think Rod Brendamore is asking himself that question right now. And to be able to place him on a line with Sebastian Aho, who is one of the best players in the league, and Teuvo Teravainen, two countrymen, it's a pretty nice situation for him. And the booing last night in Montreal, you'd like to ask a reflective question amongst the people booing and saying, so you're 21 years old and you're just offered probably 3+ times what you're ever going to earn in Montreal this year. And you're going to turn down $6+ million a year if you're a 21-year-old. And we forget he's just 21. He's still one of the younger players in the league. He's played 175 games in the National Hockey League. So I see him as a two upside. It still may be a couple of years away. I could see him as a guy, even for quantity of games played, not hitting his stride till he's 24 or 25 years old. And I could see a bump back in the contract next year that Carolina says, okay, we want a multi-year deal in the, I don't know, the high twos or the low threes. I could see that being very, very doable from both sides of the equation.
All right, here in Ottawa, the Sens fall 2-1 to the San Jose Sharks. I know you had your own game to do, but probably saw the highlights. Brady Tkachuk plays his first game, Dave, and DJ Smith said going into it, I don't want to play him too much in his, in his first game or two. I want to kind of ramp him up, and then he ends up playing 19:39. Part of it is circumstance because Pinto gets hurt and only plays two shifts, and then part of it is just the score, right? It's a close game, and Ottawa's chasing the game for the last half of the game, but... from what you saw of it, what you've read, what did you make of Brady Tkachuk's first game?
Yeah, I had a chance to watch the condensed game last night, so a pretty good snapshot of it, and he was as expected. I mean, the thing that jumps out at you is six hits, but of course it shouldn't jump out at you at all. You should say, okay, well, you know, he's going to be one of the leaders in the league in hits. But I thought he was, he was as expected. And it's funny when you say that about DJ Smith, because when you're on the bench and when you're coaching, you look down and you see names and numbers. And you don't see, 6 minutes and 45 seconds in the first period. You say, Brady, you're up next. I mean, that's what you do. And the tighter the game is, the more you see numbers. And it's an interesting thought to think that coaches can lose players on the bench, but coaches lose players on the bench. Because when they look down, they see number 7. And it's just easier to go that way. And I've often seen an assistant coach wander over or been in front of the bench, in front of the coaches who wander over and say, hey, you've totally lost so-and-so. And by the way, you got to give the guy down there a break. And it's a good problem to have when you're a coach and you want to put a guy out there that much. And the minute he had him, at his access, he was going to play him. And, I did see the Pinto injury, and that's really, really unfortunate. I'm a fan of the young man, and he did try to come back in the second period. I saw that. In fact, was on the ice for a goal against and on a play he would normally make. But I don't know if you got any word on that after the game. I wasn't able to find anything that said, how long it could be. It looked like some sort of a shoulder injury.
Yeah, it looks like it's not as bad. No, nothing structural, Pooley. Pure speculation on your part, but what's it going to be like for Brady Tkachuk today, but more importantly for a 1 o'clock start tomorrow? How the leg's going to be feeling?
Totally fine. Totally fine. At that age, you know, he's used to playing, you know, even in his year at Boston University, they play back-to-back. That's not a big deal for those guys at all to come right back and play. He'll be, and in fact, I would expect him to be better in game two.
Matt Murray starts his first game as well. That's the other storyline for Ottawa. He lets in two, saves 22, but neither of the two goals necessarily were the stoppable ones. If you're DJ Smith, you roll right back with him tomorrow afternoon against New York.
I think I do, and you know, and I'm comfortable with Forsberg as well. And I think the Ottawa goaltending has been a really, really good story early in the season, and it gives them a lot of hope. Not only for this year and next year, but moving forward, but Philip Gustafson and the way that he has played early and through the exhibition season. So I think it's a great story. And, you know, when you're not talking about something, when you have that much of a less of a distraction, it's easier to focus your group up front. And I think the group up front is confident with the goaltending they have right now, and they should be.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Structurally, do you really like what he's kind of doing, along with the work with Zach Burke, and other than maybe the glove hand, you just see a completely different goaltender from last year?
I look for big and calm, Simmer. I don't overcomplicate it much past that. And, you know, when a goalie is jumping around, then I have concerns. And, you know, I played with some really good ones, and I was a goalie guy. Like, I sat with the goalies on the bus. I was, you know, a real good friend to those guys, I think because I came back into my own end once in a while. But, you know, I talked a lot about goaltending with Ron Hextall, with Andy Moe, with Reggie Lemelin, with guys like that, and Olaf Kolzig. And when they're quiet, they're good. And I think right now Matt Murray is quiet, efficient, but he looks big in there. And, you know, if you're a shooter and you're coming in, he is a big guy. But right now there's a difference between being big and playing big, and right now he's playing big.
Chris Johnson, your colleague at TSN on Insider Trading last night, said that Pierre Dorion is looking fairly hard, it sounds like, to add some scoring to the team. The Pinto thing, we'll see. Doesn't sound like it's anything long-term, but regardless, he's a first-year player in the NHL. How essential do you think it is that the Sens add a scoring forward, be it a center or a forward?
I think it's still on their terms, and it's a really hard time of the year to do that, JR. Because nobody quite knows what they have or where they are. They don't have their own stuff sorted out yet. Now, until they sort that out, and sometimes that 10 or 12 or 14 games, when things start to settle a little bit and somebody says, okay, this young player is better than we thought, we can move this player. Or, you know, somebody's not doing what we thought and we're looking for that. So I think, you know, just by being patient, by watching the waiver wire, you're going to see players come up. And by actively looking at who might be available by trade, but it's a tough time. It's the window before, you know, before things really start to happen. And I don't expect that, you know, somebody prime is going to be available on the very short term.
Would you take Phil Kessel?
I have too long a history with him, Simmer.
You're trying. No, don't be trying to buy time with laughing.
I have
a
history with him.
But let's be real.
Think it's a fit.
Okay.
I do not think it's a fit.
I don't either.
I think Phil goes to the same type of move as when he went to Pittsburgh and plays a support third line role. And by the way, if he breaks the Iron Man, W. Jarvis's Iron Man, if he breaks that, if that physical specimen breaks the Iron Man record in the NHL, it'll be one of the greatest records ever held.
And Gary Roberts should shut down his entire operation.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. You know, and he worked with Phil Kessel. Oh,
I know.
He's got him on his resume. But Phil is just an amazing guy. And you know, his genetics are blessed. And he stays healthy. And he actually looks like he's moving pretty well right now. So I literally go back, the first time I saw him, he was 16 years old, and he was playing up with the big team in the national team program, and he was absolutely flying. And at that point, he was slated to go number one overall. He ended up going number five to Boston. But what a talent this many years later, but I don't think that's a fit for the Ottawa Senators. Mm.
A couple things before we let you go. Jack Hughes is out for New Jersey. It's a dislocation. They call it good news that he won't need surgery, but a dislocation is never a good thing, especially when you're, Well, you're a high-scoring, young, and not-so-big player. So how concerned would you be if you're the Devils over your star forward having a significant injury this early in his career?
I would be incredibly patient bringing him back, JR. I really would. And be over and above on the time length and just making sure. And, you know, that body type, he's a slight guy, but he's so willing to go wherever he has to go to get the job done. And, you know, even Pinto, at a better size, this is a physical game, and those are young bodies. Those are 20, 21-year-old bodies, and you see some of the guys that hit their full physical stride at 28, 29, 30, and just the physical substance they have to go in the corner with a Jack Hughes. I'd be incredibly patient with that young man.
I look at Hughes, Poole, and he gets completely manhandled. He's still a boy. I mean, has it been, and again, he's been up and down, but was it a big, big mistake bringing him in so early?
You know, I think his talent dictated that, and the state of the team dictated that. And, you know, as much as anything, that's why moves are made at that point. And, you know, in retrospect, you'd probably say, yes, he could have used another year in college or a year in college, but you know, and his brother did 2 years at the University of Michigan. So he had similar cases and different philosophies within the same family. So it's a hard one to fathom. I think most times you'd say you'd be concerned about the body type because the head doesn't believe the body's the size it is. And he has grown, but, you know, the willingness to go where he has to go is there. And then that becomes a dangerous thing.
Final one for you, Dave. We're about 4 months out from the Beijing Olympics, and last Friday was the deadline for all countries to get a preliminary list of 50 skaters and 5 goalies in from whom they will eventually choose their Olympic team. So Pierre Lebrun reported last night that Canada's list of 5 goalies actually is 6 because they got an exemption because of Carey Price's current state. So I'm going to give you the 6 names of the goalies on Canada's list. I don't know if you've seen it or not. I want you to tell me if you think they've missed anybody, A, and B, as it sits right now, who you think the 3 will eventually be that will go to Beijing. So the list of 6 is Carey Price, Jordan Binnington, Darcy Kemper, Mackenzie Blackwood, Carter Hart, and Marc-Andre Fleury. A, did they miss anyone? And B, who do you think will be, as it sits right now, the 3 that will be there?
I didn't see the list. And I wouldn't, I mean, I think Carey Price is in the mix for sure. And then I might go Jordan Binnington. Don't sleep on Binnington because he looks like he's got his Stanley Cup game back. And if you're comfortable with those two, it'd be between Marc-Andre Fleury and Darcy Kemper, but I might be leaning Marc-Andre Fleury even with a tough start.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, we'll find out sooner rather than later, right? And would you ever give any thought to having a third goalie as a guy who maybe in 2026 you think will be, so you go in a younger route, you know, for a guy to kind of get used to it? Do you even think about that, or you're just for the here and now and don't worry about that?
I'm for the here and now in the Olympics. Absolutely for the here and now.
Yeah. You deal with later? Later.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And on that note, we'll let you go and appreciate the time, not only today and all this week. You're out west next week with the Habs, is that right?
I am. I'll be good Monday and Wednesday, and then we'll figure out if I'm up at 5 in the morning on Friday in L.A.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We can always pinch hit for you as well. And so you got a new look at the new rink in Seattle, right, for the first time?
I do not. Craig Button's going to do the Seattle game with Brian Mudrick, and then I picked him up in San Jose, L.A., and Anaheim.
Okay. Sounds good. Appreciate the time. Have a great weekend.
You as well, guys. Thanks.